Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you off and running on the first full week of February. I always welcome February. Like February, it's funny how months kind of have a feeling about them. I'm January, glad it's gone. It is the Buckmaster Show. My buddy John is engineering and producing the program on the other side of the glass on this Monday, February the 5th, 2024. We're in our 14th year. We started in January, the 14th year of the radio project, and the 36th year for Tucson Media, for myself. We come to you from the Bustos Media, the growing Bustos Media radio presence in Tucson, and we are in, we've got five radio stations now under one roof. This one's 1030 KVOI, The Voice, Tucson's only source for local news and talk, and we're in the Green Thing, Zocalo Village Studio. We have our worldwide live listening at buckmastershow.com. Not only can you listen to the program live, but we've got all of our podcasts, a tremendous amount of content. I don't know, 99% of every show we have done since January 2011 is archived. Very easy to use website. A lot of content there. When we do our telephone interviews, the live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. On Monday, we do something called the Monday One-on-One presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Wonderful family-owned and run business since 1985. Moe specializes in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls. Moe's a fantastic photographer. You can see his work at the shop. They do, of course, wonderful. The signature, I would say, of the business is the picture framing. And if you don't want to put the piece up on the wall yourself, maybe you're going to screw it up, maybe you're worried about falling off the ladder, Moe makes house calls, which is good news. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, right next to Copenhagen at Fort Lowell and Dodge, and Monsoon Chocolate is now in that kind of central Tucson location. Very popular. Moe'sGallery.com is their website. And Historic Theater in Tucson continues with its restoration. Teatro Carmen opened its doors, 1915. 380 South Meyer in the old barrio, Viejo Barrio. The building, 100, and let's see, that would make it 107 year.
It'll be 108 this
108,
year.
108.
So, yeah.
Herb, thank you very much. The 108 year old building has been home to many things. At one time, it was an Elks clubhouse. Actually, for a long time, for a half a century, Herb Stratford, who gets credit for the rehabilitation of the Fox Theater over two decades ago, is now focused on Teatro Carmen. Herb Stratford and his nonprofit Stratford Artworks Incorporated working real hard to turn the space into a performing arts venue. Along with his historic theater consulting and restoration, Herb is director of Film Fest Tucson. He's also very much involved with a couple of film festivals around the country, one in Vero Beach, Florida, then one out on Long Island, on Long Beach. Herb did an outstanding documentary film about the American arts and crafts furniture designer Gustav Stickley, who at the height of his fame in the early 1900s operated the Craftsman Building, a 12-story retail and office space in New York City. Herb, always great to see you. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you. And boy, that was quite an introduction. I got tired just listening about myself.
Well, I think I covered all the bases. I mean, you're a busy guy. You've got, and of course, I should mention you do radio and TV film critic work on a couple of stations here in town, so you keep your hands in that as well.
Yeah, I'm a member of the Critics' Choice Association, so we do the annual Critics' Choice Awards, which took place a couple weeks ago. So yeah, I'm definitely in that industry, but I have a strong pull and a strong interest in preservation, and that's why it's so great to be here in Tucson, because there are projects that can be preserved and brought back to life.
And Teatro Carmen is doing well. You showed me an image of the outside. That's all the original brick. Where are you on the process there?
So the whole process is probably about $8.5 to $9 million project. We have raised about half that money, so we're still sort of in the depths of it. But we wanted to demonstrate to people, much like we did at the Fox, that we're moving forward and we're making progress. So we got some grants to restore the facade. And that is about to be sort of debuted. I believe the fence will come down a week from today. We were pouring the sidewalk this morning. So we restored the facade, and we were lucky we could find one photograph from 1917 that we stumbled on at the Historical Society. So we knew what the building had looked like in 1915 and then opened, this photo in 1917. So what you're seeing when you see the Carmen today is that 1915 facade. And then next door, there was a fruit stand that became an expanded part of the Black Elks when they were there from 36 to 86. And we have restored that facade back to 1941 because we found those plans. And so you really have some nice little slices of history, of barrio history, 1915 and 1940, right next to each other. And, now we're pivoting to the roof next because everybody's got to have a good roof. Mm-hmm. And we want to get that repaired and restored and fixed and a brand new roof on before the monsoon hits. So,
what's the footprint of this property? I mean, how large is it?
You know, it's about a third the size of the Fox, so it's just under 10,000 square feet.
That's an intimate space.
It is, and it'll be 250 to 300 seats, and so it's a real nice niche. There's really nothing that size. The Fox, which of course you know I love dearly, that was a 30,000 square foot building with, 1,164 seats. That's a lot of seats. 300 is an easier room to fill, I guess we could say.
Yeah.
So,
the publicity has been good already. Condé Nast is a very popular travel magazine. Condé Nast Traveler is the name of it. I subscribe to it, and a lot of people who love travel do. And you got a nice little write-up in there.
We did, yeah. They mentioned Tucson and Barrio Viejo as one of their top destinations this year. We were also in the New York Times recently. We have been really blessed and really lucky for two things. One, Barrio Viejo is about to be declared a National Historic Landmark District, and that raises the profile of our neighborhood. The only other national landmark designated places are Tumamoc Hill and San Javier, so that tells you what level we're talking about. And also, we have a great relationship with the folks at Visit Tucson, and they are very good about telling our story to journalists. Actually, I have a journalist from the UK coming in tomorrow to walk through the theater with me. So they've been directing folks to us, and it's a great story that there is a 1915 theater in the barrio that still exists and is going to be used again as it was originally intended.
Amateur theater or professional theater?
It was professional theater. It was the nicest. When you think about Tucson in 1915, this is 4 years before the Rialto. This is 15 years before the Fox.
Right.
So there was the Opera House. There was Levin Gardens. There was some other facilities, but this was the nicest theater, specifically for Spanish language productions. So they had two Mexican plays. They had touring operas. I've done some deep diving, and we found touring magicians. I mean, we found all kinds of sort of almost vaudevillian type things that would happen. But because it was in the barrio, you see a lot less of that information has been survived. So with the Fox, I had opening night insurance photos. We had a lot of newspaper coverage.
Documentation.
Yeah. In the barrio, I've got some Spanish language newspapers. I don't really have very many photographs. Almost none, and so it's a little more of a digging project. But yes, it was a lot of things, and then also the building is fascinating because it was the theater for a couple of years. It didn't really succeed. The woman that started it didn't really have a nose for business. So then it became a wrestling place. Then it became a fish market. Then it became a garage. And then the Black Elks bought it. And the Black Elks were there. And then, then it was sort of a pop-up art space in the late 80s. RuPaul and Henry Rollins performed there at one point. It's just got this amazing, incredible history of a space that had all these different activities that so uniquely speak to Tucson and the Tucson experience.
When did you first get involved then with the, how did that come about with the Fox? What was, how did that whole project begin?
So, you know,
short story.
The Fox, yeah, sure. The Fox, I actually snuck into it when it was boarded up in the late 80s and fell in love with that building and then started the nonprofit and then, you know, ended up raising the money and restoring the building. Sort of a similar story with the Carmen, where I had seen the Carmen back in the early 90s and had sort of forgotten about it. And so when the call came in, are you interested in maybe looking at this theater to try and do something? And I said, I am. Those are the two words you could say to me that would get me interested is Teatro Carmen. That was the one that, it's so different from the Fox. You know, it's 180 from the Fox. And so an interesting challenge for us to do.
All right. Well, I'm more with Herb Stratford talking about his restoration projects. Talk a little film with him as well. It's our Monday one-on-one presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Also want to tell everybody about one of our great sponsors, and that would be our favorite bakery in town, Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. And the good news up at Mona's, I was up there over the weekend, talked to the owner, Steve, and they're all excited because they have the liquor license and they are, well, if you want the mimosas with your breakfast, or if you want a beer with the lunch, they do a great lunch up there. They've got wine, and so that's a new dimension to Mona's Danish Bakery, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Their website's monasdanishbakery.com. They do take Monday, well-deserved, off. They will be open at 6:30 Tuesday through Sunday. And, of course, as I say, not only the great breakfast, but they do a really great lunch as well. Be right back with Herb Stratford. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006, and the RTA is finalizing a new 20-year plan for RTA board review and approval to seek public feedback on the draft plan. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100. This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, off and running on this Monday with our Monday one-on-one presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. They are located next to Copenhagen and now very close to Monsoon Chocolate at Fort Lowell and Dodge. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, and their website looks really good, doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com. Actually, I've got a few items that are part of that website from my collection of antique maps and prints. So there's some of the Buckmaster collection at moesgallery.com. Might want to check it out. There's some really good stuff there. We've got good stuff with me in studio. Herb Stratford is here. Herb is a historic property developer. How about that, Herb?
You can call it that.
Yeah,
sure.
Work on the known, probably well known for his work on the Fox Tucson Theater a couple of decades ago, and now his new project, Teatro Carmen, which is really coming along. It's at 380 South Meyer in a neighborhood that is soon to be declared a national monument.
Yeah, national historic landmark.
That would mean
landmark,
that people can't screw around with it, right? you could, I guess. There are ways around anything. But
sure, but it just raises the bar. It also opens up funding, which is great, because when you're part of that designation, there's grants that are available and things like that. And it's a recognition that this is the largest existing barrio in the United States, which is pretty remarkable.
And it was even bigger before.
It was a lot bigger. Yeah.
Before the convention center came along. But so, that's for another show. You're involved with a couple of film festivals, Vero Beach in Florida, Long Beach out on Long Island. Are film festivals, how is that whole scene? Is it a dynamic growing area?
You know,
or
it's
kind of leveled off.
You know, it's an interesting thing with the proliferation of streaming platforms and more ways to experience content. You would think that there would be more appetite for content, but there's also more white noise, and so it's harder to find things, you know, for people. So the film festival world is a very important sort of cog in that system, because emerging filmmakers, you know, let's just take Sundance and sort of the top two or three people off the table, but the other 9,000 film festivals around the world, you know, that's where people get their films seen. And that's where you build word of mouth and buzz, and you hopefully can maybe find a place for it to go. In the case of our Stickley film, because we released it during COVID, we didn't have that festival circuit because festivals were sort of on hiatus, but we managed to find a distributor. So that was sort of the end result anyway that we wanted. But it's an important part and of that whole ecosystem for filmmakers to have that platform. But you know, there are so many of them. Where do you apply? You know, how do you do that? It costs money to apply. You know, it's a whole other job. Making the film is half of the job. Then you have to get it seen.
Where can people take a look at the Stickley film, which I really liked, spotlighting American arts and crafts furniture designer Gustav Stickley?
It's on Amazon Prime, and it's on Apple iTunes. And so if you just type in Gustav Stickley.
And it's feature length.
Yes, it is.
Yeah,
yes.
I mean, it's really, you know, kudos to you. It's really professionally done.
Well,
if people are at all into arts and crafts, and I know you're into arts and crafts, you're into Art Deco, certainly, as am I. Also, speaking of film festivals, you're director of the Film Fest Tucson, which is now how many years old?
This will be our eighth year in October, and we're in the second weekend of October every year, and we're downtown. And one of the things that we like to do is we have screenings at the Scottish Rite Cathedral, Cathedral, which is, of course, another 110-year-old building. We do things outside. We do a lot of things, but it's all very walkable, and there's usually five or six different screenings going on. And we're all about downtown and history and film and Tucson, and we've had some really great success with audiences and with guests. Coming out to be with us. We had Rachel Ward last year, the famous Rachel Ward, from Against All Odds. And then we also, the year before that, we had Phil Rosenthal from Somebody Feed Phil.
I love that movie, by the way, Against All Odds. Yeah.
It's a classic.
It is a classic movie. So getting back to the Carmen, so you got a couple of years maybe work left with that project. And do you envision some kind of a cafe there? What are you thinking?
Yeah, it's interesting. We're almost creating a campus on that site because it's the two buildings, the Carmen building and then the Black Elks expansion. And then there was an empty lot that was next to that where there used to be a Chinese market until 1961. And so we're turning that empty lot into a 7,000 square foot patio. So there will be the theater, a bar and restaurant, and the outdoor patio all on that block. And that is one of the reasons why it's taking a little bit longer. It's complicated.
It is, and it's really hard to find like a vacant lot anymore in downtown, isn't it?
It is. And then, as soon as you start to turn dirt, then you're finding artifacts. We did the early archaeological excavation on site, and there was two privy pits, which are outhouse pits. And we, of course, did it professionally with archaeologist Homer Thiel. And we were pulling up Chinese ceramics from the 1860s,
wow.
Complete bottles. I mean, just really remarkable stuff. So anytime you dig downtown, you have to have monitoring because something's coming out of the ground.
So How does it work once the project is completed? Do you then start booking groups to come in, or how does that process work?
Yeah, it's an interesting thing. You go overnight from restoring a building to operating a building, and
yes.
You really have to have all your ducks in a row. And we did that at the Fox. And yeah, about a couple months out, you start booking, you start trying to figure out your staffing, but you have to hit the ground running. And that is the second part of this is the operations part, and we'll be running that building, and we're very excited about what that means. It means theater and film and performance, all kinds of things, music, whatever we can do in that building because of its unique size. It's really going to be an asset to downtown.
From a financial point of view, Herb, there are grants that I know you know that part of the business so well. That kind of helps, right, to say the least.
It does, yeah. And I mean, the other thing about this building is,
but it's not going to drive a project completely.
No. And the thing is, any performing arts facility is going to meet about half of its expenses with its ticket sales and its whatever ancillary income. The rest of it has to come from other activities, and that could be fundraising or philanthropy or grant writing or whatever. We're lucky with the Carmen because of its Hispanic, its African American, and then by tangent, its Asian history. We tick a lot of boxes, and so a lot of funders are like, wow, this is a really unique project. And so we're going to make sure we tell the story of that property there. So there's going to be interpretive displays. There's going to be, we're not just going to pretend it was one thing. It was everything to the community for a long time.
You have seen the evolution of downtown Tucson, and I'm just wondering, as you see it, how do you judge it?
That's a whole other show.
Yep.
I'm so proud of, and I've been in town, this is my 40th year that I've been here because I came to go to the University of Arizona in 1983, and I am so proud of what has been accomplished downtown, and I think the things like the Fox and the Rialto and the Streetcar and the Hotel Congress, and I mean all these amazing things that have happened. What I hope happens before I pass on is I hope somebody tells that story and we get to have that narrative told, because it is such a lot of downtowns have this story. It happens all over the country, but I want our story to be told. And I think this is really important because there's people who really, Richard Osseran, for example, and Shana at the Hotel Congress. I mean, people that really gambled big and made a difference downtown and made our community what it is. And I hope we tell that story. But yeah, I'm excited that we have another project that is downtown and that we're still able to continue to grow on the successes that we all started in the 80s.
That story could be put together in a feature, I think. I mean, I think you would need 90 minutes to tell that story. But it's a unique story.
It is. And I think, you know, there's still, the majority of the folks are still around. I mean, mm-hmm. there's people that have passed, like Berta Wright, and, you know, mm-hmm. some people that are not mm-hmm. around anymore. But I'd love that story to get told while the people can receive, you know, the attention that they may have not gotten.
How has streaming changed the business, the radio and TV and film?
It's almost overwhelming. I'll tell you that as a critic, I get access to a lot, not necessarily everything, but a large majority of stuff. And I have a hard time. I drown in content. And so the role of a critic, I think, is important to like let people know what's worth seeing. Mm-hmm. But it's hard. There is so much content with so many streamers. I honestly feel like there is a consolidation coming. I think you're going to see those windows shrink. I think you're going to see some consolidations. I think Paramount Plus is going to be in mm-hmm. trouble. I think there's going to be some things that are going to merge. Mm-hmm. There's too many. You know what I mean? Yeah. I mean, you look at your bills and you're like, how many streaming services yeah. am I paying for? So that's coming. But, you know, it's an interesting time to be a creator because there are more platforms.
Yeah. And you look at any movie these days, any feature film, before you even get to the movie, there's probably 5 to sometimes even 10 different production houses that are part of pooled together to make the movie.
Yeah. It's an interesting time in television and film. And it's exciting on one hand, but it's also, like I said, it's hard. There's so much white noise. There's so many things competing for your attention. How do you figure that out?
Before we go, who wins Best Picture this year?
Personally, my favorite is Poor Things, but I believe that Oppenheimer will sweep the awards this year.
Yeah, I enjoyed Oppenheimer. A little bit long, mm-hmm. but certainly worthwhile. Herb Stratford, thank you very much. People want to get a little bit more on Carmen. Do you have a website or
we
anything?
Do teatrocarmen.org, and that is where you can go, and we try and update that, but also drive by mm-hmm. check it out
again. 380 South Meyer in downtown Tucson. Herb, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Our Monday one-on-one presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. They are located at Fort Lowell and Dodge. Their website is moesgallery.com. Be right back with Keith Rosenblum with our monthly Border Report.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade. Using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana. Plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com. The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Whether you've considered an all-inclusive luxury cruise, an expedition adventure, or a relaxing river cruise, come to Bon Voyage Travel's annual showcase on March 3rd at the Hilton El Conquistador. Presentations will be offered throughout the day to provide you a chance to hear more about these travel brands and their exciting offers. Bill Buckmaster and I will be teaming up to present the travel trends of 2024. Visit bvtravel.com for more information on Bon Voyage Travel's free showcase on March 3rd.
I got a busy March ahead of me, don't I? I've got the travel show the first weekend, then second weekend I'm doing a panel, or actually just a one-on-one at the book festival. And then the third weekend we'll be dedicating Ann Buckmaster the Mosaic at St. Philip's in the Hills. So March is going to be a busy month. Green Things, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. Ran into Jan and Jack, the owners of Green Things, at Mona's. They were up at Mona's. Everybody goes to Mona's. Ran into them Saturday, and I asked them about my three poinsettias. And I guess I heard it wrong, but I guess I'm watering too often. I guess the every other day isn't necessary. I think it's more along the lines of maybe once a week, maybe a couple of times a week for the poinsettias. So if you have any poinsettias around, they should do well, I'm told, if you water them once or twice a week, and they'll last quite a while, as long as they have a lot of light. Sunlight has to come in. So put them by a window. GreenThingsAZ.com and their sister business is ZocaloVillage.com. Open every day. They're in their 53rd year of business. Here's a guy who didn't just get off the bus yesterday, joining us on our live line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, Keith Rosenblum, who is our border reporter. Keith, how are you?
I do get off buses day to day, Bill. I'm a believer in urban transit. I take SunTran all around the city. I take FlixBus when I fly. I know this is heretical for you, but some of us do occasionally fly from Sky Harbor. And I take buses to El Paso and to San Diego. So not yesterday, however, and it's great to tune in again with you. Today is a Mexican holiday. I'm sure you're celebrating and your staff probably upset you didn't give them the day off for Dia de la Constitución. Today's Constitution Day in Mexico. It's a federal holiday.
Keith Rosenblum, what about the Senate they put together after, seems like, just a ton of work that went into this? Senator Sinema was involved. It was called a bipartisan border deal. So all that work on crafting this border program is now dead on arrival in the House.
Keith Rosenblum feigns no expertise when it comes to domestic politics. I'm, as you know by now, I'm a seer when it comes to anything going on in Mexico. When it comes to border policy in the U.S., what I think about, and I think about right now, about Mike Johnson saying that it would be spurned the moment that it got to the House of Representatives, it makes me look at lots of other twisted relationships where couples don't want a solution, go to therapy, but it turns out that actually fighting over things was the essence of the relationship. And so to have something solved would actually be antithetical to everyone. So I think that here, although Mike Johnson would deny it, I think that President Trump wants this issue to parade and promote, you know, through election or till election day, and he's the one that is just the master puppeteer. That's what's happened. You had absolute volition with both parties, and when Trump chimed in and says, it's not what I wanted, which is probably bogus. It probably is what he wanted. But he wants to be the architect of it, and he doesn't want to give that applause to an incumbent president, a Democratic president.
Couldn't Biden theoretically, there's all this talk that shutting the words shut down the border. I don't get it.
It doesn't make any sense. It's like it makes me think of Blazing Saddles. No, the Three Amigos maybe. What is the scene where the guy takes himself hostage and threatens to shoot himself if people don't step back? And so it reminds me of a scene out of that where we could shut the border with Canada as well. And we could shut any border anytime you want and see how we, you know, talk about a self-inflicted wound. I mean, we have enough of them today with China tariffs and with other policies. The idea somehow that we would close the border down like that, that would really be weird. That would be, there's no, it's not, again, it's people sounding tough. And that's what, in the end, and Jim Colby, my former boss, and John McCain, who I'm glad I only knew as well as I did, but both were veterans, and both would tell you to this, you know, based on their experience, that the most tough-talking people are the ones who have never done military service, who have never seen warfare. Mm-hmm. And so what you have here is this posturing that's just, it's right out of a comedy. Okay, close the border, because that's fine. We can bring our economy almost to a screeching stop. We can not have limes or avocados or tomatoes or melons. We can keep people from going to Cancun, I guess. There's lots of things we can do. It would be completely counterproductive. I can't think of a single benefit. I mean, the issues about people coming from Venezuela, Senegal, Somalia, you know, Guatemala, those are organic issues in their homelands. And we can work with the Mexicans to figure out ways of ameliorating it, allowing, you know, their labor be legalized in Mexico, which it is now anyway, I believe for the most part. We can come up with, and we can send messages to their homelands that we are not open for business. There's things that we can done, but somehow closing the border is awfully, it's like, I mean, if a child crosses the street or cheats in school or whatever, you can threaten, I guess, to kill him, right? I mean, you can come up with these drastic measures that say, this is, you know, this is the atomic option. Mm-hmm. It makes no sense. It's comedy to those of us that follow it.
Keith Rosenblum is with us. It's our monthly border report. The opposition candidate, the lady that is considered the opposition candidate for Mexico's presidential election, is doing some campaigning, and it's not within Mexico. She's come up to New York, which isn't probably a bad idea to meet with the Mexican community in the Big Apple.
It's twofold. You have two good reasons for them to travel, really more, but the two major reasons are, number one, Mexicans in the U.S. can vote. There's two things that can be done. They can vote just in the presidential election if they're in the U.S., and their INE, their Instituto Nacional Electoral ballot, does not list a home address or in Mexico, or doesn't give them domicile there. So you can vote in the presidential election and likely not in the senatorial or the, you know, the local ones. Or if you can prove, or I'm sorry, if your card, if your voter registration card came from those states and it was not issued in the U.S., you can get an INE card at the consulate here in Tucson. But if you can show that if your card came from, let's say, Michoacan or from Jalisco or, you know, somewhere else, then you actually can vote here at a consulate or at the embassy, and I think there might be some other polling places as well, and you can vote for all the offices on a particular ballot. So number one, Xochitl Galvez, who is a candidate from this coalition party against the Lopez Obrador designee, who's Claudia Sheinbaum. Number one, she comes up here to, well, not number one, they're tied, I think, in the same place. On one hand, she comes up here to appeal to the Mexican voters who are in the U.S., who are substantial. There's And the U.S., I think, has 30 or 40 million people of Mexican ancestry. I don't know how many of those are eligible to vote, but a lot. And the next thing is, gives you a chance to get to know the leadership in the U.S. And so you get to meet, I'm not sure she's doing it, but if she's not now, then she certainly will be on a future trip. Get to meet with people who are in the Congress and the mayors of cities and who are in the Senate, and they may squeeze in something with at state. So she also gets to know them. And although they play no role in the election, which is June 2nd, it's good for her to do some pay it forward kind of work and get to know people in government, in our government as well. So it makes sense for twofold. I haven't paid attention to it, so I don't know what kind of impression she's made, but it makes sense both politically and diplomatically for her to come and make the rounds.
All right, Keith Rosenblum, stick around. We've got more with Keith. We'll take a break right here on the Buckmaster Show when we come back. Boy, the flood of Chinese investment is very real in Mexico. Be right back with Keith.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax. The RTA is the largest annual funder of regional transportation improvements in the region, averaging more than $100 million in tax revenue each year. The RTA is preparing a new 20-year plan for public review prior to a May 2025 election. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates. Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. And your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Bill Buckmaster in the saddle as we launch into the first full week of February. Great time of year to check out Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Only about a three-hour drive. Go to their website. I would suggest a visit to the website, and that you'll be very tempted on the many things to do. A lot of outdoor activities like the world-famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument. The website is southwestnewmexico.org for more information about what to do, where to stay, and some great places to eat as well. We are in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio, our telephone live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Keith Rosenblum is with us on our live line. Keith, former border reporter for the Arizona Republic and the Arizona Daily Star, and one-time congressional aide to the late Congressman Jim Colby. And for folks who don't think or don't really understand the Mexican economy, Mexico's economy is actually booming. Keith, the exports from Mexico worth a record $593 billion in 2023. That is up almost 3% over the previous year.
What a surprise. You have any country where you have a wage that's a third or a fourth of ours, with junior colleges that dot the country that minister to whatever the local economy is. So if you're in Michoacán or Jalisco or Sinaloa, the junior colleges would address things in produce or production of tequila or mezcal or things in fruit. If you're in the petroleum areas, then the junior colleges would deal with issues that have to do with extraction of petroleum or jobs within there. And if you're in, we'll say, Guanajuato, you have the leather industry, which is booming. So that the Chinese have taken advantage of that as a tribute to them, and good for them. These are not things that are coming to the U.S. necessarily. I was in a boot plant in León, Guanajuato, and we were looking at one. I was with people from Phoenix, actually, that wanted to go into business in leather goods, and we went from one factory to another. And this one was, they do custom products for Florsheim, or for Allen Edmonds or something. And then we go into another factory that says, that's a supplier to Walmart. They do 6,000 pair of boots per week for the Chinese market.
Wow.
So nothing that you're saying. I mean, to me, you might as well have Adam Smith at the other end telling me about the way that economies work, and more power to the Chinese for having realized it and taking advantage of it. We, on some things, we really get it right, and other things we simply, missed the boat, literally, I guess, literally and figuratively there. But I want to take advantage of a funny story too, because I think this is, I had occurred to me in the first part to run it by you and to razz you a little bit, although you don't razz easily. But when you travel, because I know you've traveled to basically every country there is, correct?
Not quite, but a lot.
And I'm
of them.
Sure, given your affable demeanor, yeah, and the fact that you're not a threatening kind of guy and mm-hmm. not sarcastic,
mm-hmm.
My guess is you're a trusted traveler. Are you not? Are you not a trusted traveler?
I am a trusted traveler, and through the federal government, of course. Yes.
Well, I just want to let you know that, for what it's worth, Keith Rosenblum is not, nor will he ever be, and I wanted to share that with you because I also, like many people, I get tired of waiting in lines for 2 hours, for pedestrian lines to come into the U.S.
Yep.
I want to get over, I want to get home in Nogales, want to cross, and I find myself in a line that is just interminable. It stretches out to Campillo Street in Nogales, and sometimes the lines can be 5 minutes. Normally, they're closer to 20 minutes or a half hour, and sometimes they reach 2 hours or more. I've always thought to myself, you know what? Keith Rosenblum's not going to pay extra to have a second tier, be a part of another class of crossers, which are you. You are the trusted traveler. You're the
yes.
guy that requires less maintenance. You go in, you smile, and you're on your way. So I decided, okay, enough's enough. I decided that I'm finally going to spend the $100. You recall what it was when you did it, Bill? $100?
Something like around $100 to become a trusted traveler.
Yeah, well, I decided I'm going to do it. And so I go ahead and I send that money to CBP and Homeland Security. And it took it guarantees you a response, I think, in 8 months or 9 months, which is pathetically long to begin with. And I was contacted, I think, after a year and 3 months and told that I would have my interview. Mm-hmm. After all that time, I had done all the questionnaire and told them that Keith can be trusted. Anyway, they didn't buy it. They rejected me. And
what?
They said during the interview, who are all these people? And they proceeded to read me. This is the CBP agent, agent Bustamante in Nogales at the CBP office. And so it's my hearing, right? And he says, who are all these people? And he goes ahead and he reads a list of people, 10 people long, 12 people, I don't know how many, 15 people long. And I had to think for a moment and think, okay, who are these people? Like for a moment. And then I had that moment of epiphany. These are people who had received correspondence at Keith Rosenblum's house in Tucson. These are people who are friends of the family, some of them not particularly close friends, but they get, you know what they get at our house? They get Amazon packages, and they get U.S. mail, and they get UPS, and they get FedEx. And the Rosenblums are only too happy because they can buy things cheaper in the U.S. and have Keith take them to Mexico. They're just safer, or they're cost a lot less for freight purposes. And what they had done was they'd gone to the list of mailing people who'd received correspondence at our house in Tucson.
Wow.
And so I said, after a while, it dawns on me, I said, those are people who get packages at the Rosenblum's house.
Oh, I'm sure that
and
went
that
over.
That was the first rejection.
Yeah.
So Doug was not a trusted traveler. And then, but Officer Bustamante, very, very nice guy, says, well, just go ahead and you can always appeal it. In fact, I encourage you to appeal it, he says. So I do. I go ahead and I appeal it. And I just got my second rejection the other day. So I am a permanently non-trustable traveler.
Well, we trust you, Keith, if that means anything.
Shout obscenities on the radio.
Yeah,
I don't remember.
Exactly. Yeah.
I really appreciate that empty vote of confidence.
You know, getting back to like the flood of the Chinese, and it's become a flood of Chinese investment in Mexico. There is a segment of the American population, though, that believes that everybody who lives in Mexico wants to come to the United States.
I can introduce them to 98% of my friends and family who don't. So anytime someone expresses that, just give them my number, and I'll be happy to take them. The nerve of it, this is kind of this very strange, exceptional, it's an exceptionalism of arrogance that Americans have. So no, the premise is so far from accurate that it's laughable.
But that premise is what a lot of this border talk is built on.
Yeah, I mean, that's true, and that's why nations talk past each other, and that's why these assumptions, this is what baffles Keith, and that is that if I sit someone down and walk through that and say, oh yeah, I know this particular family, by the way, it's important for you to know that virtually nobody from Sonora or Chihuahua or Baja wants to come up here, the numbers are as you go further south, where their lifestyles are less, where they're poorer, that they would want to. And then they just want to be somewhere where they can earn better. That is true. But for purposes of people in the border areas who earn half of what we do, maybe, or you know, it's a greater ratio than what it is in the south, they don't aspire to come here. For those that further, but my point was going to be this, that when you explain to people that it's not so, and you offer whatever anecdotal evidence you can or empirical evidence you can, they'll tell you then, and this is what really worries me, is that they'll tell you, well, I believe that it's contrary. I believe that people do want to come. And that's when reason gets thrown out the window. And you and we deal with this all the time. Well, mm-hmm. I believe that. Okay, well, then the conversation just ended, right? Because we're not, there's no, I can't counteract someone's beliefs. I can counteract someone's data or what they believe to be reality. But where the United States is in 2024, I think is half based on belief and on instinct and on by some other a greater like perception that has nothing to do. It's not founded in empirics.
Yep.
That doesn't matter.
All right, Keith Rosenblum, thank you very much, Keith. Hope you have a great week.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, that'll do it for the Buckmaster Radio Program, Monday edition. And thanks to John, engineering and producing the show. Thanks to Keith, and thank you for everybody that listens. We'll be back with you in about 23 hours. Have a great afternoon.